For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bras. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender Podcast. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you today?
So good, sir. Gerd. It's Vanderpump Rules Day. How can I not be good? And we're going to Detroit in a couple of days to do the very first episode of Vanderpump Rules live.
Yeah, and when you say very first live, meaning we're looking at the series premiere of Vanderpump Rules that we'll be discussing live, not our first time ever discussing it live. For people who are confused, etc. People like Kathy Ireland, who's celebrating her birthday today. For some reason, I decided to look up celebrity birthdays right before this podcast.
Well, there you go, Kathy Ireland. Happy birthday, and now you know what the fuck's going on.
Okay. Yes, and you too, Holly Hunter. We're not leaving you out.
Oh my God, I love Holly Hunter. Now, Holly Hunter should be on Vanderpump Rules. You listen here, you stupid little shit. Listen to me right now, Jax. Jax Taylor.
Did you ever see Broadcast News?
Of course I saw Broadcast News.
Well, guess what? It's William Hurt's birthday also. Oh, my God. It's a Broadcast News birthday day.
Oh, my God. William Hurt, just like Jax, has been so hurt today.
If only William Hurt knew about Reiki, he could have had a totally different stage name. It could have been William Healed.
I know. They would have called him Billy instead this whole time. His wife would have known that he prefers to be called Billy.
Billy Hurt? Oh, call me Bill. Call me Billiam. His name's probably not even William. It's probably like Ronaldo.
It's probably Jason.
And he's like, Jason, you're right. All troubled souls start off as Jason. If only he had Kelsey Patel, to unlock his inner Jason before he went off to become a successful screen actor.
Yes. Hi, Reiki people. Hi, Reiki doers. Thank you for all the health you're bringing to people across the country. You really do a service. Your positive energy brings a service. And I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this. You're not a fucking psychologist. So how about you drop the tool bag and just straighten some backs out, okay?
That's me doing taps on your forehead. You feel better now?
I do.
Have I unlocked something? Should I call you Rondel?
Yeah, it's like, that's the real me inside, Rondel.
Yeah. Well, here's the real me inside, and the real Ben wants to reiterate what Ronnie said, which is go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets for a Detroit show this Saturday. And, we have a contest going on, for free tickets to that Detroit show. Just post a video on Instagram saying why you want to go. And as long as you hashtag WWCrappens and hashtag Crappens Live and make sure you at us so we can see it, then, you may win some tickets. First place is going to get 2 free VIP tickets. That is a $150 value, ladies and gentlemen. And that comes with a meet and greet and preferred seating. And then second place are just 2 regular tickets. So that should be fun. Go do that if you want to come see us. And it's going to be a super fun show. And also, we have another contest, which we will circle back to at the end of this episode. We've been doing a board game giveaway. We ask people to make fun Instagram Photoshop photos and post them on Instagram. So today is the deadline. So after today's Vanderpump Rules recap, we are going to rifle through the entries and choose a winner of the board game Castel.
Castel, sexy Castel.
Sexy, unique Castel. Put some basil leaves on that Castel. I want this human tower to be sexy. Sexy Castel.
But today, before we make a human tower, let's make a different kind of human tower. A roll taco tower. A tower of shame for Vanderpump Rules.
A tower of tacos and shame.
Yes.
Constructed by me and Ronnie.
Yes. Here we go. Same taco tower, guys. Welcome.
Shame tacos. Tacos of shame. Yeah, so that was a fun week that we had, Ronnie. since our last Vanderpump Rules episode. We got a lot of responses to our last episode, which is kind of exciting. We've never had a controversial episode before. I think the last time we've had controversy was when you made a joke about Maya Angelou, right?
Oh, God, Ben. I just love that you keep bringing it up, hey? God, you're like that fucking uncle at Christmas who's like, remember that DUI? That was a fun night. It's like, Jesus, I'm getting married. I brought my fiance to the table. Uncle Ben. Wait, no, someone call me? It's Uncle Ben. Peter's brew.
But hey, Peter's brew. I've had some Peter's brew. But for real though, so we had a lot of people who were quite upset at us because they felt that we sort of like glossed over all the Me Too elements of last week's Vanderpump Rules. They felt that we were sort of defending, you know, a creeper and endorsing women just shutting up if they have feelings like that. And, you know, honestly, if you listen to the podcast, I totally understand why everyone thought that, because we were basically just sort of like rambling on like two idiots. But I do feel like it's really important to clarify this because, it's a terrible feeling to go post something on a podcast and then you have to sit for a week before you have to be able to like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Yes. I actually meant it like this. But like, absolutely, you know, what everyone has been tweeting at us, totally agree, about, you know, we totally think that Stassi and Kristen and Katie and everyone has obviously a right, and they should speak up and be like, you know what, he was creepy to me at a wedding, and their feelings are totally valid. And we did say on the podcast, it was totally not cool for Tom to yell at them, because it's not really his place, even though Tom and Ariana, I do believe they felt like they were being noble, standing up for Jeremy, someone who's really important to them. The thing that I thought was really fascinating about the episode, and I tried to say it on the podcast, but I think I just sort of made it sound worse, was that the episode presented someone who, like, on paper was very like a stand-up citizen. He put out a fire, you know, he asked out Billy Lee, he doesn't care what society thinks. Like, this seems, by all accounts, he seems like a good guy.
And then you think back on it and you're like, oh gee, I wonder why that episode was edited that way. It's like,
right,
we never hear from this busboy or whatever, and then suddenly he's a hero and then a creep all in one episode.
But I think that was actually what made the episode so amazing, because to me, that's what really epitomizes this whole movement, which is that people can be like, do great things. They can be upstanding citizens, but they can still cross a line. And I think when I was trying to say it, I sort of was sounding like, he's awesome. He's awesome. And he had a transgression. No, I think what was cool about this episode is that this is like it's a complex issue. And even quote unquote good people are fallible, and they need to be called out when they do something wrong. And even if it's as simple as creeping on someone on a wedding, you know, like, no one should have to be silenced about it. I have more thoughts, but I'm gonna let you jump in because I'm just talking like crazy.
Well, there were a couple things. First of all, I stand for women. Okay. We're on this show, women are our entire audience pretty much. I mean, it's like 90% of our people. As we've met you, over the past year or so traveling around, the most mortifying thing to me was you dropped the ball. You dropped the woman ball, which is my whole life. Women have taken,
hate
like,
dropping the woman ball.
You know, I owe a lot to women. Like, women have always taken care of me and made it okay for me to be who I am my whole life. So that's always going to upset me. But then, you know, of course, I think back and I read all the comments and I'm like, well, my first reaction on the show was, multifaceted because Stassi said he's a creep. Okay, there's nothing wrong with saying a guy's a creep, and there's certainly nothing wrong with telling your girlfriend that you think the guy's a creep. Then Billy Lee got offended because, of course, well, who knows? I can't read her mind.
I don't think Billy Lee didn't get offended.
She kind of exacerbated it when she told the other people.
Yeah.
So then it kind of became this wildfire. And then I started thinking about Billy Lee, and I'm like, well, of course, maybe it was sensitive to her because it's like the first guy who asked her out at work, she's already maybe feeling, you know, like the only one or whatever. And it's like, of course, people are like, oh, he's a creep, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it kind of went. My issue was when it turned into calling him a creep to going to stand for the other victims with Katie. Now, my background with Katie on this show, I mean, obviously I don't know her. I only know her from the show. But she's always made me fucking crazy. Katie always makes me nuts in a fight. And it's very difficult for me as just a sport watcher to get behind anything Katie says. Yeah. So those were my feelings during the show. Okay. So then I'm reading all these comments. And of course, my first opinion was my same opinion as it was during the show, which is why is it that big of a deal? And then it hit me. Duh. That reaction is why it's that big of a deal. Basically. Mm-hmm. The reaction of like, well, guys have always been creeps at weddings. What do you expect to go to a wedding and a guy's not going to be a creep? That was my first reaction. And that's my problem that was a first reaction. Because it's been like that for so long that... Yeah. It's a fucking problem that's the first reaction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, where I think what was interesting is that, you know, they were just like, oh, he was being creepy. And I didn't really think I don't think that Stassi and Kristen were really coming for Jeremy. They just were like, oh, by the way, he's creepy. Just keep an eye out. He's like, you know, he's horny, pervy, whatever. And by the time through the game of telephone, it gets back to Ariana, it sounds like there's like a full on character assassination going on for Jeremy. So Ariana just comes on full strength, like, shut the fuck up, you know? And so that's why also you could hear me on the podcast feeling kind of torn, because I was like, well, I feel this way and I feel that way. And it made it sound like I was being like a sympathizer to Jeremy, but it was more, and I, by the way, I've never met Jeremy. I don't know anything about Jeremy really. And of course all these articles come out about his arrest, which are like, ooh. But where I was torn is just like, you know, I feel like I want to respect the fact that, you know, a sister is standing up for her brother, you know? And so I was like in this place of being torn between, well, I feel, you know, like you got to respect this, like Me Too movement, you know, like people are standing up and like it's, they shouldn't be silenced. But at the same time, I was like, I want to respect that. It's like, you know, like a family member. And then what made this issue all interesting and complex, which again is why I thought the episode was so good, is that the accusers are people who have historically on Vanderpump Rules been people who have been happy to character assassinate. They do it for sport. And the person who is defending Jeremy is someone who has on the show typically been someone who stands up for like what's quote unquote good, you know, and all that. So the roles were reversed. And again, that just shows how in these situations, all that shit doesn't even matter, right? But like you have to like take all, like you have to sort of like push through all that crap, like pre-existing biases just on the character level alone. And that's really fascinating. And I think I was trying to kind of say that, but I think what just came out sounding was me being like, I really like Ariana. I know Ariana in real life. And like, I'm going to support her, which is not really what I was intending to say. But I'm also not going to be like, oh my God, almost totally objective, because obviously Ronnie and I, we've met Ariana and Tom. So of course I'm like, as much as I hate to say it, of course there's probably some bias. Then again, I've also hung out with Stassi. So I have bias towards Stassi as well. So the bias game is all fucked up for me right now. But the best I can say is we did drop the ball. And I'm just like, I feel terrible for the listeners who expected more from us, who expected us to do some of our patented rants. And we were just like, blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to use this as an excuse, but I'm going to use it as an excuse. We also were recording at like 1 a.m. after doing several episodes. And I know for me personally, I was like, I kind of just want to get through this recap. I know we can stop and do a whole big discussion, but I kind of want to get through it. And in retrospect, it's like, well, sometimes when there's serious shit that needs to be discussed, you kind of can't push through it. You got to stop and discuss it.
For me, it wasn't even the time of day. I was literally shocked the next day at how mad people were, you know. And like I said earlier, that was kind of my problem, is that it took me reading not just comments at us, but comments on the episode of Vanderpump Rules all over the internet, because of course I read all that shit. So I was shocked that it was that big of a deal, because to me it was some guy being creepy at a wedding. They said he was creepy, and then, you know, it went out of control. And like I said, you know, that was the problem. It's just like, oh, it's just some other guy being creepy. And I cop to that, you know. I mean, I'm wrong a lot on this show. And I also want people to feel comfortable saying, you know, because people really are good with us when they disagree about disagreeing, but not being like me, like not making me cry, because my bully ass will be the first one to start crying. And so I thank everybody for being nice. The second part of this for me was the bias. And it was bound to come up, and it's always been my worry since we started doing this show that we start meeting people. I mean, it's not just because we don't work for Bravo. We have no connection in any way to it. But over the years, people contact us over Twitter, and we get to meet in real life, or we make friends with people in real life, like Leah Black, who God knows who you're going to meet through that woman. She knows everybody in the world, you know? And so I'm thankful for all of that, but it's always been a worry, and we've talked about it off the show, you know, just between ourselves. I was like, I don't want to get into this issue where it's like, we're friends, because naturally we're going to start being nicer, and there is going to be a bias, because it is harder to talk shit about your friends. And I've been so careful over the years to talk shit about the people that we've met.
Yeah.
And I've tried so hard to be an asshole.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And so that was another thing I was just mortified, because I'm like, oh my God, you know, I separate the people. First off, it's not like we're having dinner or like hanging out with any of these people. We're not like best friends.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Like, we're friends and friendly, and we certainly have fun when we go out or whatever. But I've always prided myself on being an equal opportunity, you know, asshole puncher.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, I mean, the timing could not have been worse, because a week prior, Ariana mentions us on Watch What Happens, and then a week later, this happens. And so everyone's like, oh, so she mentions you on Watch What Happens, and that's like, that's enough to like buy you off. You're going to automatically take her side. I'm like, no, I didn't know.
But kind of, because if you think about it, it's like, yeah, I would have probably at any other time whipped up all that Jeremy shit on the internet and read it, you know, like all the allegations.
Well, I think we probably have in the past. Honestly, I think we probably have in the past, and I just had like forgotten about it, and I knew that he had like things like circulating, but I was honestly too lazy to look it up. I was like, I don't know. I don't care. And then as soon as we were done recording the episode, I went online, and Brian Moylan had written a really strong recap. And he basically was like, listen, regardless of what you think about Stassi and regardless of what you think about Ariana, like, it wasn't – Ariana should not have come down on them. They had legitimate complaints, and Jeremy was being creepy. And you could see on video that Stassi was uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if it's Stassi or Mother Teresa. You can't do that to someone. I mean, that's not what he said, but that's basically what he was saying. And people – I immediately posted on – someone had posted it on a Facebook group, and I immediately was like, oh shit, that's like, he kind of said everything that I kind of wanted to say, but I didn't, and I kind of glossed over it, and I regret it now. And you can look, it was like right there, like 1 a.m. or whatever it was. I guess I'm doing my own little defense case now.
Well,
but meaning that like we didn't like we like meaning that I do think that sincerely we do care about this issue. And I think that we just kind of just mishandled it and didn't say it right. And
it's funny that you bring up Moylan, because he got his ass handed to him.
I'm sure he did.
His Beverly Hills recap, because he's being nice to Erica on a week where she was just a monster. So, and you know, so the bias thing comes in again. So it was really a week of reflecting on a lot of different things.
That's hard
but
to get
I can't really, like, I'm not, I don't want to like suddenly backtrack and be a kiss ass and start apologizing for everything in my past, because that would take us forever. What I will say is I've always made an effort to not have a bias, and I'm making a vow now that that shit is on the top of my mind, and I won't be doing it. Who wants to listen to a show with bias, you know? And I'm certainly going to get away from it. My bias will go back to being for strangers like Vanderpump.
Like, I mean, I always say,
who I will forgive anything, no matter what. Okay.
I mean, I always say I'm full of bias. That's what I feel like makes me a podcaster. I play favorites. I absolutely play favorites, and I have people who I absolutely detest, and it changes all the time. And we're not like a newspaper. But I understand there's a difference between bias towards like favorite characters versus like not treating someone the way you normally would because you know them in real life. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, you know, again, we've met these people not because we've like sought them out, be like, oh my God, blah, blah. Like we actually met them through like the way you meet people normally. Like you actually, like we actually socialized and met them through social circles. So it's.
But someone can still be very nice in person and then be a dick on TV. And, yes. You know, that's what we're here to call out. So my vow is to this audience to not ever let bias get in my way. And if I feel it, I will admit it. Loudly.
I think the
And my second vow is, you know, I will keep speaking my mind and expecting you to tell me when I'm fucking wrong. And I appreciate how you do it because, you know, like an old dog
very
does
cool
learn.
That everyone spoke up.
Yeah.
And very cool that people
so
spoke
keep
up.
Doing
that's
that.
What this moment's been all about is that people being like not just sitting back anymore, people just getting angry. So yeah, we got a lot of tweets, we got a lot of emails. And
thanks for
hopefully
this.
Hopefully we can all hold hands together and group hug.
Well, I was so fucking happy. Yeah, group crappens hug. And I was so fucking happy when I watched this episode of Pump Rules last night because everyone can unify behind hating Jax Taylor. What
yes.
a
Me too.
Prick.
I was like, thank
oh
God.
Oh my God, what an thank asshole.
He is
so,
just.
Thank you.
It's
thank
amazing.
You, Vanderpump
it's amazing. Thank you for taking us back to petty nonsense.
Oh yeah, well let's get on with this show.
Yeah, let's get on with the fun stuff here.
I said this at the beginning of the season, and I was really worried when this episode started because of this. I love the films Planet of the Apes. I think they're so good. I am amazed at the just the skill that. Animators have gotten to where they hire an actual actor to play the shit out of kind of an animated role and put sensors
Wait, those
all
are
over
actors?
Yeah, they put sensors. They put all these sensors all over these actors and they're really acting the role, you know, and then they're covered by this 3D. I don't know how it works, you know. I'm old.
I was pretending. Never mind.
No, you know what? Thanks for making a joke, man, because you know that
they're
I didn't
gorillas.
Know. Well, I didn't know that they were real
actors. I didn't know
that
this, like, Planet of the Apes thing was going to be... I didn't know this was, like, your raison d'être. Like, this is what's giving you life lately. Okay.
Now I'm mad.
So, anyway, I don't mean to step on it. Go.
Yeah, don't make me mad, because I really didn't know that they were real actors playing the apes. I thought it was just animation, you know? And I was like, oh, my God, cartoons have become such good actors. No, now I'm mad. So, I can't hear any of this.
I was trying to make a joke pretending that I thought they were real gorillas.
No, I know. I get it. But I'm stupid. Like, if
you welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast where we explain our jokes.
But if you told me that they were really gorillas when those came out, I would be like, oh my God, gorillas are becoming such good actors. Like, I'm dumb, you know? So, when people told me they were actual humans with sensors on them, I mean, I was floored. So, my point is... I was worried because you want to talk about bias. I was like, I'm starting to like Jax because I love the main Planet of the Apes guy. I just love him. Like, you were so great.
Simon or something.
He's
or...
made me laugh. He's made me cry. I mean, he's just so good. And Jackson really is getting his face. And I thought at the beginning of this episode, I was like, oh my God, please don't make this a Ronnie, you're going to like Jax this episode thing just because you like the Planet of the Apes movies. So thank God it didn't end up that way, but you know, I needed 20 minutes to explain that.
Yeah. I'm so glad that your first go at removing bias in your life has to do with, separating Planet of the Apes from Jax. I think that's a strong move from you. I think that really fixed everything from last week. You're like, listen, I like, you know, I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, yesterday I was like walking down the street and like I was walking by this grassy patch and it was like there was like this big mud splotch in it, but the way the light was hitting it, it looked kind of beautiful. And I realized, no, just because I like that muddy splotch that looks sort of nice there doesn't mean I have to like Jax.
So you do understand.
So I removed my bias too. Like, I can like muddy splotches outside of the podcast, but in the podcast I can also hate Jax.
The point is, Jax has an ape face, and it was worrying me that I was going to like it. It's like if your worst enemy in the world was a dolphin. Like, how are you going to hate a dolphin?
Dolphins are apparently very aggressive and not very nice.
Dolphins
and
are this, wonderful. How dare you?
They always get a good edit on, like, Blue Planet, too. But you know what? Like, look at Sheena, okay?
So we open with Tom mixing drinks.
I thought you were gonna talk about the song. See, now you got me. I see now, aunt, you got me checking out all the songs, all the royalty free music, because the music goes, "Don't get in my way, I gotta make it today. Don't get in my way," and then the camera's like winding through the kitchen of Sir. I was like, oh my god, it's like I feel like I'm an actual waiter there. You know, it's like I'm saying, "Don't get in my way. I've got a plate of tuna tartare that has to go to table 35. Get out of my way. I don't care about your Chilean sea bass, because I got to get my tuna tartare there. Everyone, out of my way. It's a left and a right. There's the fridge. No time for arguments now. I'm at the table."
No kidding. They make it seem like it's this glamorous thing, like, "Don't get in my way, I'm making it today." Like, anyone's getting in these people's way from making it, you know, or way of making it. But the real song belongs to Chef Joe, because, you know, he's the only ass who makes anything in that place. It's like, "Don't get in my way, I'm going to make it today. Don't da 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 da." The only one who's made it on Vanderpump Rules is Chef Joe. And I commend you, sir.
Well, he had big shoes to fill. Chef Penny, of course.
R.I.P. Chef Penny.
Yeah, we did a little poll on Instagram, and it was like, who do you pick, Chef Joe or Chef Penny? And Chef Joe won by a landslide. I was like, excuse me.
Well, Chef Penny ain't going to stand around when Vanderpump comes in, and she's like, "I need more on that plate, Chef Joe. Chef Penny, make it sexy. Make it sexy, Chef Penny.
Some sexy puzzle." Anyway,
Chef Penny would have been like, "Fuck you," and just left. Chef Penny was not like a wilting flower, okay?
No, no. All right, so you were saying Tom's making cocktails.
Yes, and she's like, "What are you doing here so early? Look at all this effort you're making. You're like a Nicolaine with a glass and a shaker."
She's like, "I want you to make me a cocktail. Give me something I haven't tasted before." I'm like, so anything that's essentially not a cosmopolitan.
Anything that doesn't have Vanderpump on the label, you mean? She's like, "I'm drinking from the water Vanderpump in my home."
"I'm drinking something they call a gimlet. I don't understand what it means, but I guess I could give it a try. Bottoms up.
I would love a Pumper Cola." It's like, stop taping Pump on top of every other brand, okay? It's just a Coke.
"I'll have a Pump Collins, please."
"I'd like a Pump and Sour." So she's like, "Give me something I've never had before. If anyone can, you can, Tom, half of Tom Tom. Also, Nicolaine is coming in. Do not touch anything. Do not touch anything."
I was surprised that there was not like a series of trumpeters that came in to do a fanfare. "Nicolaine is coming, the genius Nicolaine."
Tom would have just whipped out his trumpet and been like, "I could do this better, bro."
Bro, you need a fanfare? I could do a fanfare for you.
So he's like, there are multiple things that Tom. Oh no. That's Lisa. So he's like, she goes, "There are multiple things Tom Tom can do that I have no business doing. Spreading HPV. Impregnating waitresses in Las Vegas. You know how it goes. Just make sure you're, what's the American word you would use?" He's like, "Bitchin'? Gnarly?"
"Dude? No.
I think the word I'm thinking of is copacetic." I was like, what sort of accent was that?
I actually looked up copacetic, because I was like, that's an American word. It sounds like an English word, you know? Is everything copacetic?
Yeah, I don't think it's a word that's unique to America, that's for sure.
No one knows. I just like when
British people do an American accent, they always sound like cowboys. Copacetic, gonna get on my cowboy boots.
I wish I could argue with her. And then Brittany enters. It's like, oh, Jesus, thanks for ruining it for us again, Brittany. But Tom's like,
"Yeah, I need to like step it up and prove myself to Lisa. Like, I deserve to have my name on this bar. Well, two times. All right, well, at least first billing. I'm the first time. Yeah, nailed it."
He's like, "Dude, I really need to step it up, which is why I put a little stepper here. See? I've done 10 steps already."
Only you, Tom. Only you. God, there's like some kind of helicopter above.
I hear it. You know what's funny? I saw it heading your way.
I'm sitting here in my room
and I saw a helicopter going by, but I didn't realize it was going to you. But now that there is one by you,
it's,
I realize
it must
be
on my ceiling.
It's Nicolaine.
It's Nicolaine coming to save me. Less a longer from the spoils of war. The heat is on in Saigon.
the chicks are hotter in hell.
That's a little Miss Saigon for any of those who loved the blockbuster musical from the 80s.
I had a whole thought process about Saigon last night.
I'll bet you did. We were watching Summer House as well with Everett. And
Everett. No, I was watching Ugly Delicious on Netflix, where David Chang goes to different places, and he was talking about Viet Cajun influence. Remember, I talked about how I got Viet Cajun crawfish? Well, there's a whole episode of that show about talking about Viet Cajun crawfish in Houston, and then he goes to Vietnam and all that stuff. Anyway, so
did they have the bite of a scorpion in a drink?
Did they have sexy basil around the crawdaddies? I don't think so.
So Stassi and Lala are at a place called the Phoenix.
The Phoenix always rises, Stefano De Mera, eh?
Glad they were in a place called the Tempe. Old geography humor. By the way, we are doing a show in Phoenix this summer.
Stop interrupting the Phoenix vibe.
I'm sorry. The Phoenix vibe is very cool, you know? It's like a Nick Lane kind of vibe mixed with some sexy basil. Yeah, I get it.
No more plugs after moment 20. New rule!
Lisa Vanderpump is not in that scene. I just can't stop doing her. So, or imitating her.
It's hard when you have like Lisa Vanderpump momentum, you know?
Yes.
It's like just British inertia just carrying us through.
Yes. Me caution, you caution. I'm like talking to street signs.
Black Elvis.
Lily,
it's Shantu and Black Elvis. Yeah, it's Lala and Stassi meeting with Shantu and Black Elvis, who are part of Lala's musical team. And Stassi is just totally confused by all this. She's like, okay, I get that I'm playing a party planner on TV, but like, I don't understand what these two guys have to do with you, Lala. She just has this look on her eye. She's just like, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm very confused.
Well, Lala's even confused because she's like, this is the man behind the music, bitch. And this is, well, I call him Black Elvis. I'm like, you call him. Did you make up that name for him? Are you trying are you just realizing that you don't know him on a first name basis or?
I think she just likes to mix and match things at this point because you got white Kanye and she's called herself Tupac. And now you got Black Elvis. So she's just going to just take anyone. She sees Lisa. She's like, oh, Lisa, that's British Kurt Cobain. I'm like, what?
So Lala's like, music is my part, and I'm going to leave all the fancy stuff to Stassi. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like the blind leading the blind in here.
Yeah. So speaking
so
of which.
You both have had this job less than a week, basically. It's going to be a great party. Sounds great.
So the manager of the Phoenix starts showing them around to see the venue where they could possibly set up the music and everything. And Stassi is like, listen, I've got a question, AF. So like, if you do musical performances on the inside, are audiences like distracted by the bar? Do they just go to the bar? Are they distracted when performances are inside? And Lana's like, oh my God, I love that question. Good question. Yes.
The manager's like, we'll lock them in the patio. They're like, great idea. He's like, we will, if anybody gets, we'll put little bracelets on them, and when they try and leave it, we'll shock them. Stassi's like, perfect. And Lala's like, game. That is game. And Stassi goes,
I
love that answer.
Well, just imagining Lala watching 60 Minutes. Oh my God, Leslie Stahl, I love that question. Thank you.
She's on Jeopardy just complimenting everybody. Oh my God. Yes. I love that question. You really formed that into a question. Well, shishu shashu.
Yeah, what are the Philippines, right? So Stassi is like, my artistic vision AF is to do like deep dark purples, like blood red, mildly haunted house. Like, not everything can be your like breakfast room, Stassi.
So it's like, I want everybody to be bleeding out of the eyes. That is my goal for this party. So she's like, what about that bar that's on the patio? What about that? And he's like, oh, it's a satellite bar. People in space don't hear pitch as well. Lala's like, game.
I love a satellite bar. It reminds me of Dave Matthews when I considered myself the white Dave Matthews. He already is white. Yeah.
I call him Dave Matthews.
You can be part of the band.
Stassi's like, I listen to Game of Thrones soundtrack and like the Bonjour song from Beauty and the Beast on loop. Like, you just do whatever you want, okay?
She said that she listens to show tunes, reggaeton, and Game of Thrones. And I'm just like imagining some sort of reggaeton, like show tune thing. And she, I can't, I like, my brain starts to, it's like, must add the house. That's my version of reggaeton, Les Mis.
I'm not even going to attempt that. I'm going to support you.
I dreamed a dream. Is that? I think I just sound like each person.
Just give me the dream.
Oh.
This is so stupid.
The Phantom of the Opera. Oh.
The Phantom.
I'm just doing Sean Paul.
I'm just walking back and forth around my kitchen like an Oompa Loompa.
Have Phantom of the Opera no more, no.
So I'm opening the door for a cigarette. I was like, if anything, make sure. Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
Make sure your neighbors can hear our reggaeton show tunes. That's really important.
You know what? They've lived next to me this long. They deserve what they get. Okay? Anybody else would have moved out a long time ago. So now, Stassi and Lala are new friends. They're still in the beginning stages of their truce, their ceasefire.
Yeah.
And you can tell by how they order, because Lala's like, oh my God, I love you so bad. And Stassi goes, I love the bread. And Lala goes, I love the sauce. And I was like, uh-oh. Can these two worlds combine?
It's basically the Vanderpump Rules version of I Spy. I love something red. I love
something black. I'm like, well, one of you is going to lose at roulette, so which is it going to be?
This is a mildly haunted house. It's not like a mild haunted house theme. It's more like this house has been mildly haunted. It's like a ghost that's like, boo, bye.
It's starring mildly Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
it's just like the tired Eddie Murphy who's like sick of doing stand up. He's like, "Hi, it's a haunted house." Boo. She's like, "Perfect places. Like, would you get in your places?" And Lala's like, "I love that question."
Beetlejuice is like, "Here, I'm just gonna move this teacup. I'm done for the night." Wow, that was such a mild haunting, Beetlejuice.
She's like, "Oh my God, I love that song on your soundtrack, but mixed with on my own."
Day on my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they start talking about Girls' Night. Lala's like, how do you feel about Girls' Night? I love that question. And Stassi's like, look, I try and communicate with Ariana, but it's either her way or the highway, okay? And women are in a world of shame that you say something and then we're taking it back because the men get mad, which is really brought home by the end of this episode.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. See our thoughts on that at the top of the episode.
top and the end. It's bookend episodes.
Yes. And don't worry, by the way, if anyone is concerned, we will certainly be taking up the ladies' side later on this episode.
Well, not because we of didn't that. Even
need, yeah, I was about to say, we didn't even need any lecturing for that.
Yeah. Like I said, we can all unite against the Jack Storm, okay? Yeah. Suddenly you're taking people in off the street, like, come in. Let's all pool our resources to attack Jax.
So Stassi basically says she's not going to apologize for any of that stuff. And Lala's like, that's what I like about you. You're like a gangster bitch. I love that.
It's gangster, Ben. How dare you, sir? And she's like, oh, well, I guess I'm a gangster bitch. Lala said so. So.
Well, you know, it's Stassi's head. Lala says gangsta, but Stassi hears gangster because in her mind she's already going to a Guys and Dolls place. She's like, it's good old reliable Nathan.
But dead Guys and Dolls.
It's like haunted Guys and Dolls.
They're like, sit down. Sit down, you're dead in the boat.
Luck be a dead lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady like, stop it.
Jax and Brittany are at their apartment, and she's like, Jax, stop moving my chairs and stuff. I was like, wow, glad we got in the middle of a scene. I love when they do that.
Well, you know that's how he gaslights her. He's like, I didn't move the chairs around. This is where we've always had our apartment. JX! And then, like, the next day, the chair is, like, somewhere else. JX, you moved it again! No, it's always been like this. This is just his long game. It's long game.
Well, it's working. I can imagine Brittany just forgetting. Stop moving my chairs! It's like, that's a couch, and it's been there since we moved. You can check the vacuum lines under it, okay? And then Jax, yeah, so... I love Jax's response. He's like, it's supposed to be at an angle. I don't know why that made me laugh. My mother has an obsession with angling furniture. I'm like, why? I don't understand this.
I'm just imagining, you know, feng shui experts all across the world just fainting, watching Jax rearrange his living room. Like, he's like proud to put his toilet in the relationship corner. It's like, he's like, not only is he going to put his toilet in the relationship corner, he's going to shit in it with the door open.
He's like, where's the relationship corner? Put the toilet there. Put it there.
He's like, Kelsey, you can stand there. Where's the ham and cheese making corner? Brittany, you stand there.
So Jax is just so subtle. He's like, I have an appointment with Kelsey, so will you, you know, make yourself scarce? Because this is the highlight of my week. Okay, please.
Yeah, it's nothing personal. I just can't have I can't have distractions like a nagging girlfriend. You know,
I cannot like have you standing here watching me while I'm getting a hand job. So where'd you go? Yeah. And she's like, well, have fun and grow or whatever this is.
And he's like, I'm asking you nicely because these are the little things that will make our relationship better. I'm like, first of all, you're not asking her. You're telling her. And you actually aren't being nice. I mean, you're saying that you're being nice just because you're saying you're being nice. You're not. It's her apartment too, and she can just go upstairs. Or how about you go upstairs into your own room and close the door and be done once, you know, Kelsey is done.
Well, if anybody's doubting that Jax is trying to bone this girl, which nobody is, he's cleaning the top windows of the apartment with a broom, which I can't believe he even knew how to hold that. And he not only got chocolate croissants, he put them on a real plate. I was like, did you borrow that from Katie? Like, where did you get that? You don't have real plates.
If you have enough energy to put out a chocolate croissant, to source a chocolate croissant and put it out, then you have enough energy to make your own ham and cheese sandwiches, sir.
He's like, God, Jax is like, God, she's got the best qualities. Like, she breaks you down and rebuilds you. It's like, she just says yes to you constantly. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, when I see her, it's always the best day of my life. Call it the Jax Whisperer.
Oh, God. So she comes in and she's like tapping him and doing all this stuff. And I couldn't help but feel like when she was like flapping her hands around, I was like, part of me feels like this wasn't Reiki. She was just sort of fanning away his farts. She's like, okay, all right, too much Reiki for you in the colon.
Well, ever since Tom found out that Kristen really did cheat with Jax, and his first response was, but his breath, bro, his breath. Now all I can think of is bad breath with Jax. I'm like, this poor Reiki person. She is whisper. She is the Jax Whisperer. She's like, help, help.
So she's like, so what's going on with you, Jason? And he's like, well, I've just been, you know, going to the gym going to the gym a lot, getting into trip mode because we're gonna go on vacation. I have a lot of anxiety about this. You know, I have a lot of anxiety about this birthday trip. I'm like, oh, poor Jax is having his like put upon girlfriend organize a all expense paid trip for you, and you have anxiety about it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, everybody's like always accusing me of cheating and stuff. Wanna fuck? Like, geez, yeah. Jax. And she's like, then why are you going, Jax? And he's like, Brittany's making me. I just want a big happy trip, but that's not our group. And she's like, you really need release. I'm like, really? Come on, Kelsey.
Yeah.
Let's work on your stones. It's like, put your dick away, Jax.
He's like, I don't want to go, but I saw pictures of buoys on the brochure, and I can't help myself. I need to swim to them.
Now, I love that in the time that Brittany left the house, Jax had Reiki girl over, and Brittany comes home. He's gotten a job offer. What?
Yeah. Yeah, Jax basically announces that he got a text about working in Tampa for like a hockey team doing social media or marketing or something of that source, whatever. So it already sounds a little weird. It's probably someone just be like, he probably just got like an alert from LinkedIn, which I'm not even sure he's on LinkedIn. He's probably on like, I don't know, Douchedin. And it's just like something like, hey, here's some jobs available in your neighborhood. And of course he has like the wrong zip code in. And he's like, oh, I just got a job. It's like, no. Yeah,
no, you didn't.
It's a link. It's a like, link.
Did you get a job at George Glass Industries, sir?
You did not get a job, and no one fucking believes that you got a job. I mean, especially doing tweets. All you have to do is look down his Twitter line. He's like, fuck you, bitch. Like, let's get this guy to do customer relations social media.
So Kelsey brought Jack some stones, and you just know he's just staring at them, wondering how he can snort them.
He's pulling out the pestle.
Yeah. And then when it's time for her to leave, they just have a long, long hug, and we could practically feel the boner in her thigh at that moment.
So next up is Brittany and Jax. Brittany's home, and she's like, hey, here we go! Like, amazing. It's always amazing with her. She's an amazing person. So, you know, Jax is just in his lifetime typical, like, trying to fuck with Brittany way.
Exactly. And notice the way his tone changed in his voice. When he was talking with Kelsey, he's, like, very sweet. His voice is sweet. It lilts. It's high. He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm stressed. And that's da 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 da. But with Brittany, he's terse. He speaks down. There's no sweetness in his voice whatsoever. It's really obnoxious. And he would probably sell it as, well, Kelsey is, she's open, so I'm allowed to be open with her. But like when I'm with Brittany, I can't be open. I can't be me. He'd like blame Brittany for his attitude. But no, it's his attitude. That's the problem.
That's Jaxie Couchy. So she's like, well, did you have any breakthroughs? And he's like, it's not about breakthroughs. My best days are with her. I'm like, oh, Jesus. She's like, what is it she does again? Because I still see leaves on the floor. He's like, she accepts me, okay? You need to have patience with me. You just need to have patience. Jax, you keep sticking your dick in people, okay?
Yeah. She's had actually more patience than you've ever deserved.
She's had so much patience, she's actually become a patient because of you, okay?
Yeah.
The free clinic is like, here she comes again, guys. Sad, mad, and scabbed, guys. Let's get this done. I got a lunch appointment at Hooters.
Jax, you slept with Faith multiple times, according to what it sounds like from what we can imply from that voicemail. And you've made her believe that she is somehow at fault for all this. So, like, don't talk to us about patience, okay? And then she starts to talk back, and he's like, just let me talk. Just let me talk. It's like, shut up, Jax.
I can talk. So I'm a person. The dogs can talk too. Talk. Talk. Well, they'll do when you're not around, asshole.
So now, of course, we also learned that Jax will not let Brittany call him Jason. Only Kelsey's allowed to call him Jason.
He's like, Jason, that's the person Yana. I want to be. I'm like, you changed your own name.
Yeah.
You can go back.
He's like, well, Kelsey knew me. Like, I want Kelsey to know me as Jason and not this person that I've become. I'm like, well, you know, Brittany, you only met Brittany 2 years ago. It's not too late. You know, like she can call you Jason, too.
He's like, I got an offer for a dream job. Hockey every day. And they're going to pay me. And he's just like rubbing his bald spot really hard right now. I'm like, don't get the spray hair on your hand. This scene is already going badly enough for you, Jax.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's a dream job. I mean, there's nothing holding me back. There's nothing here for me. And they just cut to Brittany's face being like, oh. It's just so obnoxious. Like, it's like one thing after the next.
Yeah. And he's like, this Peter Pan lifestyle, you know? And she's like, well, I want you to grow up too. Not in a mean way. And he's like, just say okay, okay? Calling me Peter Pan. It's like, you brought up Peter Pan. You know that means you're immature, right? Are you talking about the peanut butter? Like, what is your problem?
Yeah, I think when he said the peanut butter, Peter Pan lifestyle, I think he actually is talking about peanut butter. He's like, I gotta learn how to cook things without just peanut butter. Yeah. Gotta move on.
I'm sick of this Peter Pan lifestyle. Make me a ham sandwich. How many goddamn times do I have to say it, woman?
I'm sick of these Wheat Thins, this Peter Pan lifestyle. Talk about Sandy Duncan.
And when he said, Kelsey told me to take care of myself first because I don't take time for myself or do what I want.
Oh my God. Jesus. He's like one of the most selfish people ever on TV, and he's saying he doesn't do anything for himself first.
He's literally wearing Brittany, a shirt that says Saturdays are for the boys.
Yeah. Hey, gents. And, you know, the other thing is, by the way, Brittany, you say, like, you're also, you don't get off free in this either. You know, when you sit there and say, I've been waiting for you to grow up too, it's like, well, you shouldn't be with him if you've been waiting for him to grow up. It's
well,
like,
yeah,
if you need him to grow
ficus.
Up. But if you need him to grow up, then you should be with someone else. Like, you should be, like, in a relationship, you got to accept someone on their own terms. I feel like, I mean, as awful as Jax is, you've elected to be with this guy, and now you're being like, well, I want him to grow up. Well, no, he probably won't grow up, or not anytime soon, so go find another man.
Yeah, so Jax tells the dog, hey, what do you think? Do you want to go to Florida? And I'm like, well, at least he invited the dogs. That was so nice. Yeah.
At least he asked them for input.
So over at Rob and Sheena's apartment, this song is amazing, because it's like, living the life, living the dream. And then it's like a close-up on vertical blinds in Sheena's shit apartment.
Did you notice that she had a sign in her kitchen that said, wine tasting?
Rob is perfect for her because he comes in texting. He just walks in with his phone in his hand texting. And then you know this relationship's never going to work because Sheena jumps in bachelor style. On The Bachelor, whenever they see the bachelor coming, they jump on him and wrap their legs around his muffin top. And you just know they're getting kicked off. And I was like, poor Sheena. So girls' yeah. night, Sheena's like, he's like, how was girls' night? And she's like, it was fine. Brittany was like, don't say anything. And then Jax and I were, like she said, Jax and them were still broken up. And if they were, that she'd be making out with them. But they're not, so she didn't. And she really needs to get her mojo back.
And Rob's like, well, you know, though, it's Brittany's choice to be, you know, like, you can't meddle with this. Like, she chose to go back to Jax. That's her choice. She's like, oh my God, Rob is so smart. He's so smart. He, like, thinks of things that I don't think of, and he can do it in, like, less than 7 minutes.
So then, she literally said that later in the episode.
And this I know.
One, and this one to Rob, she's like, she forgets that she has a choice. Now eat the sandwich and have the soda.
So then Rob busts out some logos for the divorce closet, which I thought, so when they mentioned divorce closet a few weeks ago, I thought that was like a concept of a thing, you know, like a wedding shower is a concept. Like, I thought a divorce closet is like a thing that divorced people do, but apparently it's their entrepreneurial endeavor. It's a real business. And Rob is foolish enough to go into business with Sheena. So,
foolish enough. So he's like, taking her goddamn money and giving her no equity, and she's such a fucking idiot. And that's what I said in the first time we saw it, which who knows if I'm right, but I'll bet you I am. She's just going to invest in this and give him all the money to do it, and it's going to fail, and he's going to be out of there.
Yeah, because she was like, so what is my role in this exactly? Are we going to be equal partners in this? Like, good luck with that, Sheena.
Am I going to be like, part of Actors Equity? And he's like, well, you're the face of it, but like, I have majority equity. And she's like, oh my God, when you talk, I just can't stop staring at your eyes. They're so blue. They're so blue.
I get lost in your eyes, and I feel so. What's the next line, Rob? Rob, you always know everything.
He's like, I'm leaving. She's like, yeah, that is the song. Rob is the only person who can rhyme eyes with leaving.
Now, normally I would be like, he's such a dick, you know, taking all her money, saying like, oh, you'll be the face of it, but I'll have the majority of the equity. But when he says that to her and her response is, sometimes when you're talking, your eyes are just very blue today. I'm like, I kind of get it.
Yes.
I don't think you want to give that person equity.
Yeah, it's like when you're watching a shell game on a sidewalk, you're rooting for the shells. You're like, trick them. Trick them.
So then Sheena's like, my divorce is going to be finalized soon, and next time I'm married is going to be to you.
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
And he's like,
a little
wow.
Too ironic. Yeah, I really do think.
Oh my God, Rob's the kind of guy to be able to ironic 7 shirts in less than 7 minutes. Rob's like, wow. And she's like, yeah. And then her nose scrunches like she's on Bewitched. Okay, can I just ask a question? Is there anybody in the audience who wants to be the face of divorce? Like, how was that even?
Maybe only Lisa Edelstein? Sarah Jessica Parker?
Sheena is the only fucking person that would think that sounds like a fun idea. Like, oh my God, he loves me. I'm the face of divorce.
I think when Sheena hears the words, do you want to be the face of ... it doesn't matter what happens next. So like, do you want to be the face of cancer? Sure. Do you want to be the face of alligator deaths? Sure. Do you want to be the face of genocide? Sure.
Do you want to be the face of those little Diet Coke ring holders getting dolphins stuck in the water and unable to open their mouths? Sure.
Rob is, like, so entrepreneurial. Like, he has me as, like, the face of diabetes.
Two. I mean, it's, like, the less scary one. But still, I'm in.
I'm like the face of like a nerve agent. I don't even know what a nerve agent is, but it's like really cool to be represented.
I got an agent and Rob got me an equity.
It's called a nerve agent. Apparently they get like, they have like a lot of nerve, so they'll really be able to advocate for me. They're apparently, it's, I guess the agency is called Orange.
Hey guys, Roundup. I'm the face of Roundup.
No, she'd be the face of Weeds.
And Black Flag.
So let's go over to Vanderpump, my sexy prince, sexy boy, give me a kiss.
And yes, she's talking to a horse with a Barbie crown on his head. Who else?
Oh, so yeah, so Lisa's at her stables, but not the stables that are down at Del Mar, not a fancy stable like Teddy's.
My little bear. She's like, Brittany, hello, thank you for coming to this stable where I get respite. I have a horse for you. And she's like, oh my God, we went to prom together. God, I haven't done this in a long time.
And Brittany's like, these horses sure are a lot bigger than the ones in my farm. And then they cut to her farm and she's the miniature horses. And I just like cracked up because it's like such a dumb thing to say. Like, obviously they are because you got miniature horses.
Well, she's like, also the only person ever to have the same animals as Lisa Vanderpump, which is hilarious. Like, Lisa Vanderpump has met her match in a Hooters waitress. Like, Lisa Vanderpump would go steal those fuckers if one of them had a limp. And you know she would. Yeah.
Put a tutu on it and call it Horsey Horse.
Now, you don't have to ride the horse. You don't have to do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, I guess, unless it means dating Jax.
I won't do anything uncomfortable either while I'm on this horse, like hugging, which is why I've got a gigantic hat so I can have my personal space while I'm on this horse.
I modeled my hat after the arena in the Sochi Olympics.
So this is an awkward scene, but it's one of Lisa Vanderpump's favorite kinds where she can literally be looking down on somebody. She loves it. It's her favorite kind of scene. In this case, Brittany's too
scared
to get
on her high horse. She's literally looking down and on her high horse.
In her hat shield, in her hug shield hat. It's like Lisa Vanderpump classic scene. So she's just walking. Basically, they're walking because Brittany won't get on the horse. So she's looking down on her the whole time. And she's like, now, Jaxie Jackson, Jax Taylor.
By the way, your inhale getting ready for this speech. Like, was like, it's like, time to get into Lisa Vanderpump mode. You're like those clouds on the snowboard of Mario. Anyway, go on.
She's like, Jax Taylor, why must you feel the need to make things better and celebrate when he's treated you like crap? Why don't you make him suffer? Don't tell him I told you.
Like, yeah, that's a huge secret that you would think that. You still won't speak to him about being late to your catering event. And she's like, well, vacation does him really well. He's a different person. Like, one time we went, he had these great sunglasses. I didn't even recognize him. I'm like, since when does vacation do Jax well, okay? How many of them has he been imprisoned on?
I know, exactly. Also, you dumb idiot. That's called vacation. You can only go on vacation so many times. Like, you are, like, it's one thing to be like to be in love on a vacation, but you got to live your normal life, your everyday life in West Hollywood, walking around to Alfred Coffee while he's sniffing your feet. You know, like
Alfred
that's
Coffee.
I love mustaches.
So she starts...
I love that the coffee's also a butler for Batman. That's nice.
So Brittany tells her about the Reiki. And of course, Vanderpump is on this like flies on poopies. She's like, what does Reiki have to do with him doing a tart? Or without him being taught, how often is he going? Is it with a man or a woman? Does he smell like normal pickle juice feet breath? Or does he smell like vaginas? Tell me the truth, Brittany. She's like, well, he says it's calming him down. She's like, yes, that's what unloading a load does to a worker, Brittany.
Well, at least he hasn't gotten her a chocolate croissant. That's always his tale, that he wants to bone someone. He hasn't done that, right? Is it a croissant if it looks like a rectangle?
Just please tell me he didn't pretend to own real plates.
Just please tell me he doesn't have new rocks.
What about a real therapist when someone questions him and says, why would you change your last name from Couchy to anything else? Couches are so comfortable.
She's like, I don't get it. No, Brittany is really, like, I feel bad for her because she is trapped in a pattern that was probably not in her control. It was probably things she observed growing up. It was probably it's a cycle. When these things happen, it's a cycle. I didn't watch her spinoff, so I don't know what the mom and the dad are like together, but obviously something has happened in her development where she is just putting herself out like a doormat. I mean, it's one thing to throw him a party, this cheating guy, throwing him a party, and then to do this whole birthday for like a non-essential. He turned 38. Listen, Ronnie, we're both over 38. Where were our special Mexican trips because we turned 38? Nowhere. Because you don't celebrate 38 like that.
Well, because we're not dating like abusers.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this to me, like, I don't really care about our background and all that shit, because at this point it's like watching a Lifetime movie that never ends. It's like, is somebody gonna stab Rob Lowe or am I gonna be here for 9 years? Like, yeah. When does this end? At least people in those movies finally fucking figure it out. Brittany's just too stupid. Like, there's literally nothing for Brittany to be staying for. Except, you know, the cameras that are filming her right now walking beside a horse.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what it is. But I don't know. It's painful to watch not only that she took him back. If she takes him back, fine. Okay. Like, I don't think she should have, but I know a lot of relationships, they have these things, they're going to push through whatever, fine. I don't approve it, but it's your relationship. But then to like go out of your way to do all this stuff for him, and he doesn't really seem very appreciative, and he's angry at you for doing the simplest things, kicking you out for Reiki gal. You know, I just think this guy is a real tool, and he's gotten away for a few years with us thinking that he's just a lovable buffoon, but no, he's not.
What years has he gotten away with that? Not here.
Well, the past few seasons, it's Jax. Either way, we then go to Tom, and Tom and Tom are there with Ken and Lisa, and then Nicolaine arrives, and I just love Lisa Vanderpump. She goes, Maestro! Maestro!
Tink, tink, tink. All right, it is beginning. Tom's like, hold on, let me get my horn. Stop touching things, Tom!
I don't think I've ever seen Lisa Vanderpump so in awe of another person, right? Like, she's admired other people, but this is next level. I've never seen her act this way around someone.
Well, this is a man who knows chandeliers and giant swinging pendulums. I mean, this is everything she dreams of. I've never seen her cry harder than when Ken got her that goddamn swing made out of ribbons and flowers.
A swinging pendulum. Ooh, have you been smoking the pot, Mr. Lane?
So she is so Nicolaine comes in and he presents his design ideas for Tom, and he's like, all right, we're gonna do, I don't even remember if he has a British accent, but I'm gonna give him one. He's like, we're gonna do a floor to ceiling pendulum. It's gonna be a giant pendulum. I'm like, what is happening in this restaurant? I'm sure it'll look cool, but it sounds bonkers.
Well, you gotta love that she took a dildo store and changed it into a swinger store, because every idea he has, it's like, and it swings, and she's like, oh.
He's like, I've put in a Tim Burton landscape across the wall, but with a pendulum.
We'll call it the Chi Chi Elaine.
pardon me. So she's like, Tom's like, oh, guess what? I came up with 5 different drinks. I can pour one right now. This one is made with mezcal, scorpion-infused honey, Sharpie juice.
Sharpie juice.
Sharpie juice and Sharpay hair.
It's like 19 ingredients, okay? Now, congratulations, nobody wants to make that drink.
I actually muddled up the inside of my thermos, and then I added it in. I call it thermos powder. It's like...
This is literally scratching my throat. Yeah, so he's like,
dude, so like the scorpion chili was like the hottest chili in the world for the Guinness Book of World Records for like 3 years, dude, so it's gonna have some heat. You get stung by the scorpion. You get stung by the scorpion. You get stung by the scorpion, dude.
And Oprah's canceled. It's like the worst Oprah ever.
Everyone's like, where is that coming from? Oh, I think it's from in between those two twin beds we put in the corner of Tom.
I'm still stuck in the abyss.
Everybody reach under your seats. They're like, ow!
It's like a whole audience of women sobbing.
You get an asp. You get a scorpion.
So
you get a black widow.
She's like, well, I was wondering, why are they doing this now with Nicolaine here? But whatever, I'll be Mouse Thunderpump. Because who's here? The Maestro Elaine. So she drinks it. She basically drinks it. And Ken grabs his nose.
It was basically your parents. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
He was like,
I was going to say, it reminded me of when I was a little kid and my parents have a dinner party, and then you sort of like come wandering out as a kid because you sort of like want the attention, and then everyone's like, look, there's like Ben, and everyone's like, yay, you know.
And you're, you know, like, when you're a kid, you're like, mom
is on a pendulum.
It's like when you're a little kid at dinner party and like you want to impress the adults. So you come out and you're like, I made a drink with scorpion peppers in it, and everyone's like, aw.
They're like, now please go back to bed. Which is pretty much how it happened.
Yeah.
So Christy and Stassi are packing for Mexico. Well, everybody's packing for Mexico. And Stassi is just over Kristen. I don't know what the hell is happening off camera at this point, but it's hilarious. Because Kristen's like, we can't fight. Katie's married. So Stassi's just being totally evil to Kristen. She's like, well, I was thinking about this. And she's like, love it, but it swallows you. So...
She's like, I like it when it goes the other way around. So then at Sheena's place, we just hear Lala go, shishio, shishio, time to pack for Mexico, Mexi, Mexi, shishio.
Sheena's like, I didn't know we were Oompa Loompas today. I like that Stassi told Kristen, I'm nervous AF about rooming with you because, let's face it, you're an emotional terrorist. And Kristen's like, I'm not. I'm a real terrorist.
Yeah. And then Ariana and Tom are packing, and Ariana just seems so bored with this whole idea. She's like, guess I'll put some clothes in a bag. I guess I gotta go to Mexico. Fine.
One thing I love about this couple is I wrote Ariana, Tom, how many bikinis does one need? And I was like, you really don't know which one's asking that unless you label it.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom's like, hey, can we match? And she's like, no.
Yeah, oh. If we work at a Foot Locker that starts selling bathing suits. For like checker bikini briefs. It's like the whore Foot Locker. So in Mexico, Tom and Katie get their room, and they're still doing that thing where they're like, Bubba, we're so happy. God, isn't it crazy being happy? Look, it's a mariachi band. She's like, oh, he brought that from Mexico for me. Like, no one is buying it. Every time I see these two trying to act like they're the happiest couple in the world, they're always the fakest lines ever. And it makes me sad for Katie. And I do not want to feel sad for Katie, okay?
Katie is really trying to hold it in because it was only a few episodes ago that it surfaced that Tom, like, kissed another girl. And that got totally swept under the rug. Like, she is biting her tongue because she does not want to be a crazy bitch like last season. So she's just like, no, Bubba, I'm, like, so happy. Yeah, no, you kissed a girl in New York City, but you thought it was me. It's fine. It's fine, Bubba. It's
At
fine.
At least you thought it was me this time. He's like, look, babe, there's, like, $10 peanuts here, and now we can have them. I'm like, oh, my God, you don't even see that you're literally working for peanuts. Like, have you looked at the contract that Vanderpump gave you? Because you are making nothing, sir.
Yeah, meanwhile, James is being annoyed. He's like, I'm in Mexico, bitch. He's like, shut up. And then Stassi is like, she's like marking her bed that she wants with her self tanner. She's like, this is my bed AF because I put all my tan on it, like AJ Maloof. And then Jax, he gives such a backhanded compliment. He's like, I'm actually very surprised that Brittany went out of her way to make me make my birthday awesome. I'm like, that is so backhanded. You're just awful.
Right after she gave you a birthday party at Hooters, downtown of all places.
Yeah,
jerk. So they get a private hot tub, which Jax, you know, Jax, just because he's a compulsive liar, is like, I got my own pool. Like, that is a hot tub.
Yeah.
But I'll stick with you. I'll keep watching. So Peter, he's like, I got a private pool, Peter and James. And then I felt bad for James, which is another person I never want to feel bad for. He's like, it's the first time Mr. Taylor invited me to his birthday party. I remember when I was on the outside, I wrote a song about it called Pussy Pussy on the Outside. I feel over the moon about it. I just feel so good. I'm like, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, what made your life was being invited into Jax's, like, skanky ass, probably bloody hot tub.
I felt bad for Peter because I don't think anyone realized he was there. Like, Peter was fully on this vacation. They just were, like, acting like he just did not exist.
Peter probably didn't even know he was there. He's like, would you like me to take you to your seat? It's like, snap out of it, Peter.
I read online that Peter's growing his hair long again.
Well, glad they got that one in print.
Yeah. So Jax is in a great mood, and he says it's probably because of Kelsey. So even though his girlfriend has brought him to Mexico, to paradise, given him a beautiful suite with his own private quote-unquote pool, it's still Kelsey who's put him in a good mood.
I know. Brittany's really trying to not have a fit. She's like, well, who doesn't love Frasier? I mean, I know that when I go through hard times, so you can really, I mean, Niles. Niles, am I right, guys?
We then cut back to, there was like a shot of Kristen just bouncing on a bed. I don't know if you saw, she's just bouncing. It reminded me of those Tempur-Pedic commercials where they drop a bowling ball on a mattress and just see what happens. It's just like, I'm bouncing. Do you feel it? Do you feel it, Stassi?
Sometimes Kristen, I wonder if, sometimes I just wonder if the government is paying for this show, because, you know, Mexico's like, okay, we'll build a wall. We'll build a fucking wall, okay? We're going to pay for the whole thing. Just please get her off of our beds.
Yeah, they're putting a wall to keep us out.
Yes, exactly. It's like to keep Kristen out.
Yeah. So Tom Sandoval then explains how primping in Mexico is. He's like, getting ready in Mexico is different than in L.A., man. I got to exfoliate and, like, I can't. It's a humid environment, so I got to use less hair mousse and more hairspray. And, like, it's hard, dude. It's so hard.
When I use a flat iron, I stick with digital, so.
I always go digital. Visualize digital. Your flat irons, everyone. Visualize your flat irons.
Ironing hair. I'm a manscaping chameleon.
So Brittany and Jax are getting ready, and he's like, I'm going to tell Tom, it's like 95%. I'm going to take my dream job opportunity. She's like, we haven't really talked about it. And he goes, oh, I thought you knew about it.
So, JX, that wasn't a job opportunity. It was a Groupon. How many times do I have to tell you? You have not been invited.
He's like, do not make me pack my plate alone. You've been invited. He's like, I just got hired by a trampoline park to do social media.
No, JX!
Well, actually, in the case of trampoline parks, that may actually be a true story, because that's what the Bolinos wound up doing.
I know, that's why I thought of it, because I always see it on Groupon. It's like, would you like a 5-year-old iPad, or would you like to go to a trampoline park?
Well, Britt, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, we have to move because I just got a job building projectors. That way you can project stuff from your iPhone onto your wall.
JX, that's the Groupon!
I guess what, Britt? I've been hired to be a masseuse.
JX! Groupon!
He's like, why would you even stay here? What's holding you here? Not our friends, okay? Because we're not children anymore. It's like, you're reverting to your childhood name and paying for hugs from a mother figure. So,
yeah, and also, like, that's all your life has been is about friends.
Yeah,
and he's like, friends don't pay the bills. I'm like, I'm sure many of your friends have paid your bills.
Yeah, they literally do. Lisa Vanderpump literally pays your bills. So,
also, classic abusive behavior, separating her from her friends. Like, I'm what's important to you, not your friends. When we talk about this, it has to be between you and me. It can't be with everyone else. Like, isolating her is like patterns of isolation. It's really fucked up. I'm sorry, but okay. That's fucked up, okay?
So she's like, Jax
isn't even thinking about my feelings, especially after all the heartbreak I went through.
Oh my god, I can't even listen to her anymore, okay? I can't listen to her, and I can't listen to him. You're both idiots.
Yeah.
I'm with Vanderpump, because Vanderpump told her, all right then, this is what you signed up for. I will co-sign that, and I will take 3% of the profits in return for no money. Thank you.
No, exactly. I mean, she doesn't get, like I said before, she doesn't get off scot-free. She should know.
She's you.
But Jax is like, this is a dream job, even though we can't even say what it is. And then Brittany's like, but you decided, you didn't even talk to me. You didn't like talk to me about it. And he goes, I'm talking to you right now, which is one of my least favorite things. I hate when people do that. I'm doing it right now. Like, no, this is not the conversation. This is the fight. It's not the conversation.
And then she just really doesn't know what to do. He's like, you're going to make me turn down my dream job? And she's like, well, I have a dream of not being cheated on.
Okay, which is a good response.
I think
that's a good response. You know,
not really.
It's a good response.
Not to me. She just keeps staying with this guy. I mean, what do you
mean?
Well,
I mean, admittedly, technically, if we're looking at it, she had this whole moment where it's like, well, if I'm going to move on with this relationship, I'm not going to I'm not gonna like throw this in his face. I have to move on it too. But if he's saying things, if he's like, if the new parameters of the relationship is that she's treated better and he's not treating her better, then I guess I feel like it's
then
okay.
I guess
to
stay.
Like,
just stay.
That's what you should do.
Just stay.
And be a doormat.
You're doing the right
thing. Be a doormat. Be like a proper size doormat. Don't be a small doormat.
Jax is like, well, I'm burnt out. It's stuck. It's right here. It's right here in my chest. I'm like, that is wing sauce and cocaine, sir. Okay. You know, it's only going to get worse in Tampa. Trust.
If you're concerned about your chest burning up, then don't wear such a deep V-neck.
Yeah. Stop. You check probably this. Just shaved. So, yeah. Sir, everybody's fake working. And Billy Lee. Billy Lee just cracks me up because every time she comes in, she's like, welcome to Sunset Boulevard. So Vanderpump's like, hello, Billy. And she's like, hey, darling. And then she's like, hey, Joe, I don't want it going out like that. I want twice as much mozzarella and tomato sticks on a tray and basil leaves, Joe. Make it sexy, Joe.
Sir is sexy Joe. Put some leaves around it. I was like, I cannot even believe these words are coming out of her mouth. It's like, has she been listening to our podcast? She is doing our impersonation of her. She literally said, put some leaves around it, like basil leaves around it. Make it look sexy, Joe. Sir is sexy. I don't know what scattered basil leaves has to do with being sexy, but I get it.
I know, me too. What else are you going to do with mozzarella and tomato sticks? It's like, how about you come up with something fucking new, please?
I'm like, Lisa, it's a slab of chocolate cake. Don't put the basil on it.
But it's sexy basil. So Vanderpump is now doing her intro to Adam and Wesley. These two...
Next gen.
Vanderfaced employees of Sir. Next generation, yeah. Yes.
When so everybody goes to Tom Tom, we'll be left with Adam and Wesley.
Where's Adam? Adsley. So I am like sad because Adam's really hot, but I thought he was going to be like the strong silent type, but he's turning out to be just sort of goofy douchey. Yeah. And I was hoping for more, but he wants to be a bartender. He wants to graduate from barback, or as a lot of people saw last week, bareback, but he wants to go from bareback to bartender. And so Lisa's like, fine, then I guess we'll have to pass a very sexy test. Make me a mojito!
Will he put basil in it, or will he not?
And Lala's like, I love that question!
I love that question, Lisa. Sorry, I just Skyped in. From Mexico. Shushu, ad-yad, wes-wes.
Wes-wes, ad-ad. So, he can't make a mojito. He fills it up halfway, and Wesley's like, dude, soda. And he's like, soda? Oh, just put sweet and sour. I love that Vanderpump loves highlighting how stupid her employees are. She does it every time. Remember last year when Katie O'Shaughnessy or Mally or O'Malley?
Yeah, there was Katie O'Malley that hosted, wannabe hostess who never turned out to be anything.
She's like, I'll test you. What kind, where is Chilean sea bass from?
She's like, Nep, you're wrong. And I thought, oh, they're going to bring her back on after she's learned, but they never did. And it turns out she's working the stuff that Stassi's pretending to do at Sir. She does the party planning and stuff like that at Sir. And I was like, this poor Katie O'Malley just can't catch a break, man.
Yeah.
She's never been on this show.
Adam put sweet and sour mix in that mojito, and they're all like, oh, Adam. But I'm like, Lisa, you're the one who said you wanted to try something you hadn't had before, so here it is.
If mojito only with sweet and sour. Call this a pumpin' power sour.
And she's like,
it's not, he can't do that very well, but then again, neither can Jax.
And then we have a montage of Jax making mojitos with sweet and sour in them.
I love that Jax montage. Just like, just fucking up drink after drink and then ultimately dropping an entire bottle of Don Julio.
Yes. Oh, that's so Jack. So then we go to dinner. Are we at dinner?
Yes. And yeah, we're at dinner time. It's like shots.
Yeah. And Stassi's like, what are the plans for tomorrow? And Brittany's like, water park and midget tossing. What else? Oh, that reminds me. Tears to Sheena's. And Sheena's like, I have a content app on my phone and I've officially been divorced 2 seconds now. Yeah. Divorce,
happy no mirror. I'm single and ready to mingle, but only want to mingle with Rob.
Also, so I got an agent and I'm in equity, so.
Yeah. I'm with Agent Orange now, so. So Sheena turns to Chris and is like, even Rob's like, it hasn't been that long. Or like, I don't feel like you processed everything yet. And I'm like, he's so wise. Like, Rob like is like the man who hangs up the TV on top of my nuts. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe she's saying this.
Chelsea's like, find a hobby, okay? Like crossword puzzles. Crossword puzzles, and every answer could be Rob. I'm gonna shoot myself in the face. Okay.
I actually think Stassi is right. I think if you ever looked at Sheena's crossword puzzle, just like Rob, 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 Ro, Ob, Rob, 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 Rob.
Can I buy an O? Can I buy an O? It's like, no, it's a crossword puzzle, Sheena. It's not Wheel of Fortune.
It's like Wheel of Fortune. It's like before and after. It's like 30 letters up there. She's like, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Okay. Rob. Rob what?
Rob. So let's see. Jax is like, bros, Tom Tom, let's talk in private. And James is like, what are they talking about? Jax, get over here. I don't know why I'm talking like that for James.
Jaxie boy. Come on, come here, share your news with James, DJ James Kennedy. I'll spread all the word. Like, see you next Tuesday, Sunt. Okay, girl. Good.
I've got news too, Sunt. Hey, bro, Sunt. Hey, bro. Just handing out flyers to random people in the restaurant. So Jack takes Tom Tom aside, and he's like, guys, I need structure and security. You guys got a bar. I'm happy for him, but I'm jealous. I'm still living this Peter Pan syndrome, and I'm sick of smelling like peanut butter, and I can't escape it. It's like, oh, God.
He's like, so I got a job working in hockey in Tampa. Yeah, doing some sort of, like, social media marketing, and they're like, yeah, you know, something real secure. Because, you know, like sports, that's like the most secure, you know, job you can get. Sports, you know? Like,
tweeting.
Like structure.
And then he goes, come on, guys. Like, I got to do something too. I'm 40. And then they're like, you're not 40, bro. And he's like, I'm 2 years away. And sound of our number two is like, don't ever say that again.
Don't say things you can't take back, Jax. And Sandoval is like all devastated. He's like, dude, like, this is like the guy I used to throw pizza at when he was having sex behind the sheet in our old apartment. Like, he banged my ex right in front of me. Like, he once framed me for murder and he almost got away with it. I spent 40 days in jail for this guy. I can't have him go.
Yeah, there is something. I'm still waiting to see what happens that pisses Tom off with Jax, because he's so supportive in these scenes, and then in all of his talking heads, he's like, what a loser. But they go back to the table, and Brittany's like, girls, I got news. Lisa has a big horse. It is huge. Like, focus, Brittany.
It's like a walking bridge.
She's like, well, Jack's got his dream job someplace doing something. And Kristen goes, that actually happened.
Katie's like, it's not gonna pan out. Like, we've seen this before. And then we got like a great flashback to his chunky sweater line and his fitness app. And Katie's like, I'll reserve judgment on that.
Yeah. Brittany goes, did they put him through a spelling test?
Brittany's like, I'm not sure. I was gonna ask him all sorts of questions, but then I banged my knee up real good on the chair. I guess it always was by the table, but I seem to remember it being by the couch. I don't know.
And Stassi's like, and so you're expected to move with him? And she's like, oh, I just don't understand. It's being struck on me. It's like, this cast is hopeless.
Yeah.
Like, they're hopeless. And she's like, seriously? Y'all, I feel like a crazy person. You deserve the best of the best. And Lala's like, that man has given you no reason to consider giving him what he wants, which is all true, you know. And then yeah. Sheena, out of nowhere, is like, guys, if she's in love, she's in love.
That's what Rob said. He's so wise. Guys, you know what this dinner needs? Games!
Yeah, what the fuck is she talking about?
And yeah, Kristen, well, that's when, like, they're all like,
didn't you just try and hook him up with the bartender?
Yeah, that's when they're all like, well, Sheena, you tried to, like, get Adam to be with Brittany, and now it's being, and now I think it's like Sheena or Ariana. They're all talking, everyone's talking all at once, and now it's being reframed as, no, it wasn't like to break up the relationship, it was just supposed to be a confidence boost for her. I'm like, okay. I mean, I supported it fully, but like,
no, this is totally Ariana's friendship and reforming, because last week Sheena was like, yeah, I'm gonna break him up because he said something about Rob and he's gonna get what he deserves. And then you can tell that Ariana's talked to her, because Sheena's like trying to act nice, and then Ariana's the one who's like, well, the way that you described it to me was that maybe you thought it would be a confidence boost. It's like, come on, Sheena.
Remember?
Come on,
Sheena.
Trying to help you.
I'm here. Yeah. Come here.
And then James is like, come here. That's rude. That is rude. Ibiza.
Suddenly Dorita's there. So Jax comes back to the table and Lala's like, so what's going on with Tampa? Why do you want to live to that, move to that shithole place, huh? And he's like, well, what about the position? What's this job you're doing? He's like, oh, well, it's like Twitter and like a computer keyboard and, it's like a power outlet and, there'll be a chair and a desk.
And you know, his petty ass is lying because now that Stassi's sitting there, he's like, oh, social marketing and events. It's events too. I'm like, oh, okay. Now you're saying you got Stassi's job.
Yeah. He's like looking at everything. Predictable. He's like, I mean, I'll be serving, you know, there'll be palm trees. I'll have to be like eating dinner, rolling up napkins, sitting in a chair.
He's like, looking like Ariana. He's like, hot sauce. Those are just things we're ordering from Taco Bell. Okay.
Like,
he's
you're
like
just
Dorito
seeing.
Shell. You know how it goes.
Black Elvis. So they're like, well, what about Britney? Like, what's Britney going to do? Whatever. Like, you know, what about Britney's dreams? Like, doesn't Britney have things that she wants to do with her life? And she's like, yeah, Jax, what do I want to do, Jax? You remember? And he's like, yeah, well, what do you want to do? I'm sorry, I forget. What do you want to do with your life again? Which is like so unsmooth.
And then she's like, I told him I love helping kids with mental disabilities. And I was like, well, then you're living your dream. What are you complaining about?
You know what's funny? When she said, my dream is to help kids with mental disabilities, I was like, well, that explains this relationship. And then I was like, I don't know if I should make that joke. And then I was like, you know what?
Ronnie will do it.
Ronnie will do it.
Well, she said mental disabilities. So it's allowed. It's within the realm.
Well, honestly, the thing is this. Jax, when he is like put on the spot and he could have been, if he didn't remember what Britney's dream, her lifelong dream is, first of all, that's shitty. But second of all, at least like try to be like, well, I mean, your dream, like at least rely on your old bag of Jax tricks and be like, well, your dream changes every single week. You know? Like, yeah. Blame her. Like, what I can't dreams? Believe he actually sat there and was like, wait, what's your dream again?
Well, you know that he's sitting there. You know he's sitting there thinking, like, now is not the time to be saying that she just lives off my money and won't even make me a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, you know that that's – he's like, they're all going to attack me if I say that because you know that's what he's about to say. And he's like, worry about Carter. I'm like, no, because Kristen's like, oh –
Because Lala,
he goes, don't talk to me like that, Lala. And she's like,
yeah, because she says, you are no longer a single man. This is a partnership. And he goes, don't talk to me that way, which is, he shouldn't talk to her that way.
And she's like, I can speak to you how I want. I have seen you disrespect people over and over, and I'm going to put a cap in your ass. I'm Tupac.
Respect your jicks, yeeks.
He's like, you don't know me well enough to talk like that. And she's like, I don't know you. And then it shows clips of Jax just hitting on Lala like, yeah. I don't have a girlfriend. And he has a different face in every clip that they show.
Exactly.
And let's remember like, that Britney
I know
was
you
his
well
girlfriend.
Enough. Yeah. By the way, we should also give a shout out to Lala, who decided to wear full Lion King makeup to this scene. I was like, good for you. I'm glad someone decided to put on that like ultra contoured golden makeup.
It's the circle of soul suck.
I was like, I'm glad Julie Taymor is being represented in this scene. Thank you.
There's just puppets forming behind them into a big lion face.
Lala's just holding up a little. It's the circle of Jax. It's the wheel of misfortune.
So he's like, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Guess what? We do because Faith recorded it, you son of a bitch. So we all know what's
And you
going.
Also never close your door.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He wouldn't even be talking about pooping because her door is open. James is like, "He's watch out, everybody. He's going to lose his temper in a second. We're at dinner." I'm like, this cast is so crazy. It really is a revolving door of who's going to be crazy this week.
I know. It really is. And then Tom Sandoval, who already is like on sort of thin ice, or pretty much thin ice from how he yelled at the girls last week. He starts yelling at Stassi and he's like, dude. You're being a little inappropriate, Stassi. I mean, admittedly, Stassi is almost always inappropriate.
And
Ariana's
like, Tom, don't. He's like, look, this is Tom, not yelling at women at dinner.
This is inappropriate. She's like, better, keep going.
He's
Tom.
Like, listen, I'm sorry. I just found out my friend might be taking a job in Florida. I'm like, okay, Tom's a real victim here.
Yes, it's not the girl whose boyfriend is doing the same thing, which is what we're talking about right now. So.
I love it when they all wind up yelling at each other and acting silly.
My God. So the girls just are like, fuck you! And then they just get up and leave the table, which is the best. The best way to deal with it.
So, you know, the trip is going well.
Yeah, it's another fun Vanderpump Rules trip.
Another fun trip. Well, that was super fun. Love this show. It is so good. I just never get over it. So why don't we, now that we're done with that, why don't we head on over to our little contest to look at some of these contributions to our Castell. Our Castell contest.
A Castell contribution.
Castell contributions. This was, for those of you who don't remember, have no idea what we're talking about, we're giving a board game away called Castell, and the game is about human towers in Catalonia. And so we asked people to make photoshopped images of Bravo stars and human towers. Naturally. So we're going to look through some of them to see which ones are our favorites. So I'm looking at the hashtag Crappens game. Are you there too, Ronnie?
I sure am.
So let's see. The first one, we can just. I see this one is by Lucite Vision. They put up an image of the Burj Dubai, which is kind of hilarious. And it's kind of like it's a human tower of housewives splitting their legs. Do you see this?
Yes, yeah, it's a cheerleading tower.
Yeah.
Says, oh my God, Ramona's at the top. Her face is amazing. That is the perfect Ramona face.
Wait, Ramona? No, I'm seeing this one is, this is by Lucide Vision. It says, the crown was too heavy for the Burj Khalifa. Housewives, human tower is now the tallest in the world. And the bottom is Kyle Richards. And then it's holding up, Kyle Richards doing the splits, holding up Danielle Staub, holding up Yolanda Foster, holding up Lisa Rinna, holding up Erica Jane. And then at the very top, is that Bethany? I think it's Bethany in her ice skates from Skating with the Stars. Very strong.
Hilarious. This one of Sheena is great. This is by Shaberkern. And it was done at Sir Restaurant. And it's Sheena on top. She's standing on top. It looks like they're in a Vegas club. She's standing on top of everybody in some ice skating outfit that says Rob on it.
Yes.
And everyone, there's like a couple of printed canvases of Sheena and Rob.
Yes.
Being held up. And what is she reading on the LA Times?
Well, the important feature is that she's standing on a human tower of Sheena's. They're all Sheena's.
Oh my God. Oh, I thought one was Kristen. God, you guys stop changing your faces, please. It's hard to keep up in an Instagram post.
They're all Sheena. This is actually not, it's not from Shaberkern. It's from Hello Harlot. Shaberkern just.
At Hello Harlot. It says there at the beginning. Sorry, I saw who posted this one. And then there's a close up of Sheena. And then there's a close up of Shay at the very bottom. Exclusive. Does Sheena get her smile back in the LA?
Yeah, he's reading a newspaper, the Los Angeles Times. And on the cover is a picture of Sheena and Rob. And the headline is, does Sheena get her smile back? There's also an image of Sheena holding up her CD of Good as Gold. And her also holding up the tattoo of, it's all happening.
Right next to her when she's trying to cry with her Botox face. And she can't.
Yes. It's kind of brilliant.
That's hilarious.
I see the one you were talking about before from Miss Danielle Link. Where it's the cheer tower from New York City. Where
that
it's,
is hilarious.
It's John, Adam, Tinsley, and Tom are on the base of the tower. And this is, by the way, it's the tower from Bring It On, but their faces are on it. The next tier is Luann, Carol, Sonia, and above them is Bethany and Dorinda and Ramona on top making that face.
God, Ramona's face. That is so good. So that's by Miss Danielle Link. Yeah?
Yeah. There is one, there's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which is pretty amazing, and Kenya Moore is holding it up, and it looks like there's a clear hierarchy going on here, because the base level is like Danielle Staub, Alexis Bellino, Megan King-Edmonds, Aviva Drescher, and what's her face? Why am I blanking on her name?
Next to Aviva? Megan King Edmonds?
No, next to Megan, it's what's her face? Balls Voyage. Lydia.
Lydia, yeah. Ooh.
But then at the very top is Andy Cohen.
Yes. That one's that's hilarious.
Terrifying. That's a terrifying
really
image.
All of these are terrifying. That's what's amazing about them. Cell Block B is this tower by Linda Jacqueline Smith. This is hilarious. It's
which one
just
is this one?
It's called Cell Block B, and it's just all the different housewives and their mugshots. Let's see who this is.
Yes, that's a very strong one. There's one I really like. This is an early entry. This one's by Stina Marie 512, and it's basically it's a dance studio, and it's this like big tangle of Bravo celebrities where like it has all sorts of like funny, interesting relationships, like Chef Rose balancing on one foot on top of Mikey Minden with Tom Schwartz stacked on top of him. And he's extending his hand and Camille Grammer sitting on that.
She breaks the whole tower.
And Melania's at the very top of the entire tower.
This one is a bunch of people on champagne glasses. They're on top of champagne. It's all the below deck people.
It's a below deck. It's a below deck themed tower.
And the top is the top is the captain going, "She did it! God damn it!" It's by the plus side of me. So damn. Good. These and are Kate really going, good.
Huh? Right? That one's by the plus side of me. You guys are all doing really good jumps. There's one, Donna Bowman, Donna E. Bowman. It's basically the Housewives as cheerleaders. And there's a really disturbing thing. It's Bethany on top of Lydia from Melbourne. Or Ramona. Do you see Ramona? Ramona on top of Shannon Bedore. And Luann. This is great also.
Yeah.
Luann propping up Vicky Gumbelson.
And I love that they're doing this on Vicky's patio. Her old patio.
Yes, it is her patio. And there's Stephanie. Stephanie made it in there from Dallas. Oh, did we have any Leanne Lockins in here? That would be a shame if Leanne did not get into any of these towers. I'm sure she's somewhere.
This is the funniest Housewives cast ever, if they did this as a Housewives cast. Okay, so let's pick our winner. I've picked mine. You pick yous.
Oh, my God. I am so torn. I actually really, really like so many of these, but you say yours first.
Mine is Sheena, The Reputation of Sheena Marie. I think that is fucking brilliant. All the different faces of Sheena.
You know what? That was my pick, too. The others are all so, so good. Like, so good. But this Reputation of Sheena Marie, all these Sheenas and the little things in there with the printed canvas and the newspaper and Shay. It's
the just, many faces of Miss Sheena Marie. Congratulations!
Yes, congratulations. Email us and we'll get you a copy of that board game. And everyone check out these entries. And by the way, there was another entry that someone made. Someone who's like, I don't have Photoshop. I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to... she basically did like an arts and crafts project. And I forget who you are, but I want to say thank you for making that because that was also very strong.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for entering this. And thanks for the game, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Renegade Games. Don't forget to get to also join our other contest to get tickets to our Detroit show and go to watchcrappins.com to buy tickets to that show or any show, really. And tomorrow we are back with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And so we are looking forward to that. Thanks for hearing us out this episode. And I hope that we're all back to hugging each other in one big happy family. So bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.